Hello and welcome to E3 Energy and Efficiency with Emily. I'm your host, Emily Mottram. On this podcast, we like to talk about architecture, building science, and female entrepreneurship. So prepare to get nerdy. Tell everybody who you are, where you work, what you've been up to.
Sure. My name is Sophie Ashley. I live in coastal South Carolina right now in Beaufort, and I work for Energy Vanguard. We do third-party HVAC design. Can talk more about that. My background, though, is really coming from building. I'm relatively new to the HVAC world. And I have a second job, super part-time, as a rating field inspector for a Herz Rater. So I do blower door and duct blasting testing as well.
It's awesome to have you on here. My whole goal for the podcast all along is to talk about building science and all the nerdy things. You work with Allison, so I'm sure you're getting way down into the weeds with all of that stuff with HVAC, but also to just highlight some other women who are doing cool things in the industry. So I appreciate you jumping on. It was so great to meet you for the first time at summer camp. So it was my first time at summer camp, and that was really exciting. So.
Yeah, me as well.
So you said your background's in building. How did you get into building?
Yeah, my father is a carpenter, so that got me into it. I worked with him, you know, during high school and then in between in college over the summer, and learned some skills from him. I then went to college and studied politics and Spanish, so took a detour, but fell back into construction after college. And I had moved to New Orleans, and I fell back into construction doing AmeriCorps with one of the nonprofit rebuilding companies down there, rebuilding flooded homes, Katrina flooded homes. I worked on their framing crew for about 2 years, and I've just been in it ever since that. I really love the tangible nature of construction. And the satisfaction of seeing what you envisioned in 3D, in reality. After that, New Orleans, I had my own business. I have a little sign in my background, which you can't see in the podcast, but from my company in New Orleans was Boss Lady Construction. And I did relatively small scale carpentry stuff. I renovated a couple homes myself, like gut rehabs. All residential renovations, a little bit of new construction. And then I got to a point where I wanted to understand more about why I was doing what I was doing. And especially with the flood damaged homes, I was rebuilding things just how they had been built before. And so I went back to grad school at UMass Amherst in their building construction and technology department and did a professional master's where I learned about building science. Fantastic program. If anyone is looking for that type of education, it was just 1 year. I learned all about building science, mechanicals, just fantastic program. And then since then, I've been building differently and worked for a SIP builder in New Orleans doing decently high performance design builds for, I think, 2 or 3 years. And then I've been with Energy Vanguard now since April of this year.
It's really exciting that you know construction sort of grabbed a hold of you and took you down that path. It was similar. My grandfather was a contractor. My dad was a farmer. And then I went to architecture school. And then I was like, well, you know, what can you do with this? And my thesis was all about like recycling certain things so that it doesn't go into the landfill and using skilled labor, which is in places where there's no longer, you know, a factory anymore, right? But there's still a great skilled labor base to transition stuff into other things, which then led to like, okay, how does this apply to residential and then building science and energy audit and down the road, down the road, down the road, and, you know, getting to, you know, now at this point in my career, conferences with Allison and stuff. And so it's like so much fun. I think building science, just, you know, construction trades really suck you in. And I appreciate that you said like you were rebuilding stuff with Katrina. And then you kind of went, wait a second, like, we're building the same thing. Maybe we shouldn't be building the same thing. Maybe we should think about this. Like, what happens if this happens again the next time? So, yeah, I think that's awesome that you kind of shifted a little bit and said, just wait, what are we doing here? And then now you've kind of shifted again, because I really feel like your experience with Katrina and where you are and everything. I've been talking to Allison and Nikki Kruger a lot recently on just like the humidity and the moisture and how that is like so impactful in the structures that you guys have in, warmer climates. I practice in Maine, so half the time, like, we can't get our humidity high enough in the winter time to be comfortable, versus, you guys having times of the year where dehumidification and ventilation, and you still probably can't get quite to where you want to be. So what's the coolest thing about HVAC that sort of led you to, where you are now? Like, what drug you in on this part?
Yeah, I mean, what really drug me in was once I started learning to build better, I had to learn more about mechanical systems. I mean, it's just part of the deal. And I, at that point, learned how like stratified those two trades are in general, builders and mechanicals. At least in my past as a builder, I had never had a HVAC contractor ask me what was actually in the wall of a building that I was working on that he was going to put the system in on. And I learned how essential it is that these two trades are more integrated. And that intrigued me. I'm kind of a constant learner, so I wanted to learn more and more. And then as I started to learn more about HVAC, I began to learn how many things HVAC contractors get blamed for that are really builders' faults. And I wanted to get better as a builder and at understanding that where those two intersect. And so now I'm really heavily in HVAC. I think eventually I will balance out more and do both. But there's so much to learn that I'm really fully in that world at the moment. It's very, very interesting. It's very technical. It's very scientific in a way that I'm enjoying, but is not what brought me to it in the first part, in the first place. And I think ultimately it's just, yeah, I wish so many parts of our trade were more well integrated, but particularly like envelope and mechanicals just need to go together and on both sides need to understand each other for it to be a durable, comfortable, affordable product.
Yeah. I think one of the things that residential construction can really learn from commercial construction is they do a lot more coordination. And I'm sure there's, plenty of projects that get done incorrectly and everything else. But when I first moved to Maine, so I worked for a residential architect in DC, and then we moved to Maine because my husband is from here. I worked for an architect that did residential design, and I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to be doing. And I ended up on this commercial project for a really long time, and I ended up doing a lot of coordination drawings, like making sure that these things were going to the places where they needed to go. And the architect at the time was really trying to push for, LEED and whatever that was, kind of the program at the time, dating myself here, back in the day when there weren't quite so many other programs. And so, it was about the energy performance and then where all these things went and the systems and who was going to understand how to use it and maintain it and operate it afterwards. So, like, how do we make this not the most complicated thing in the entire world, so that when this maintenance guy leaves, that somebody still knows how to do it? And what I brought with me then, when I started my own business and started going into doing energy audits, was, these things really are a system. All of this stuff has a place. And you said that, some things get blamed on mechanical contractors when they're builders' faults. But there's also, I swear, every mechanical contractor has said to every architect in existence that, you have not left me any space to actually put in my mechanical. So we're maybe a little bit responsible for some of those things too. And so I have now, over time, kind of built in things into my drawings and my plans to accommodate for mechanical, accommodate for the fact that the builder might not have put stuff in the place that makes it easy for you to run your mechanical because you're not the first trade that's on, you know, on the job site. In some cases, you might be one of the last trades that's on the job site. And like, how can we plan for things to hopefully make it easy to, you know, change on the fly, or something is different, right? Like our plans were like this, something got built, something needed to get changed or moved for whatever reason in the field. And, you know, how can we accommodate for that? And so aside from being just kind of really interested in mechanical systems in general, for exactly the reason that you talked about, is building these tighter homes means we have to pay so much more attention. Also, then kind of thinking about like, okay, I did an energy model on this and I want to give it to my mechanical contractor or my mechanical designer that says, like, we have a pretty good idea of the BTU usage of this house. And then you use your software and stuff and you get these numbers. And then we do, you know, what the manufacturer can do and install and get, right? And we combine all these things together to A, make sure that we're not 50% oversized in our mechanical systems, but two, that when you're 50% oversized in your mechanical systems, you may not actually be dealing with a bigger issue that you have, like humidity, or you've got a dehumidifier that's not ducted, that's creating an issue you didn't have before, right? Like, it's fascinating yeah. to me. I just like, I go down yeah. this rabbit hole. And the one thing that I love that you guys do is that you do this for residential, because I think that it doesn't exist in a lot of places for residential. I mean, I know one really great residential MEP in Maine, and they're like 2 years out if you want to work with them. Like, you're just going to have to wait mm-hmm. forever. And so we are reliant on our trade partners to kind of help us through this. You know, I appreciate that you guys do this and you're offering it, not just in South Carolina, but you guys do projects kind of all over.
Definitely all over. Yeah, it's a good niche. I mean, it's a great business that they've run, and it, yeah, we fill a really great hole for folks all over the country that need some intentional design up front that, I mean, we don't install. So we make good plans and contractors install. And I wish we had more contact with installers, because we design all over the country. It's often hard to follow the project all the way through. I did go to Atlanta last month. We had an in-person week because there's a few of us that work remotely. And we got to go walk one of the jobs that I designed, which was great. And I wish I got to do that on every job, because there's also, I want to learn from the folks that are putting it in. I'm sure there's stuff that we don't see on the computer. And that's why I really love design build, if possible, because I think that seeing that whole process through is just the best way to iterate and learn. And I actually am going for my mechanical license here in South Carolina. I just got my residential builder's license, and I'm going for my mechanical too, so that I can get my hands on this equipment. And I don't feel like my learning is complete unless I can, you know, physically work with the systems that I'm designing.
People are like, oh, I want to go to the architect's house. I'm like, no, you want to go to a house that I designed, because my house is the test case, right? It's all right. The weird things that I got to put my hands in. I got to put this in. I got to try it out. I got like, am I willing to say this is the right solution for you? And, you know, another thing that you mentioned about working kind of all over the country and not always being able to get to see your projects all the way through, or even at all in some cases, is the thing that's always hard for me. And people ask like, oh, will you design a house for me in XYZ place? And it's like, well, I can do that and I can understand the building science or whatever, but I don't know what's available to you, right? And budget is always the thing that kind of is the thing that pops up. And we try to get people to understand, you know, upfront budget and like long-term living in the space. But things that we do in the Northeast, I always get a good laugh when I'm talking to my friends like in DC or South Carolina or Atlanta. They're like, we would never do that here. Do you know how expensive? Right. Do you find that similar in mechanical, or because mechanical is maybe a little bit more universal, that you don't run into a lot of pushback on like, in this area of the country, we only install these types of systems?
There is an element of it that is more universal, but there are certainly still regional things. And luckily, I mean, I'm learning, as you know, from Allison Bales, who is just an incredible knowledge base for all around the country. So there are plenty of different climate zones. And luckily, for me, we have, you know, practices that we use in different parts of the country that we are all trained on and know. So I think it's both. I feel grateful that, so I've been in the Southeast. I spent about a decade in Louisiana, and I've been in South Carolina almost 2 years now. So my training in building science, except for that grad school year in the Northeast and in mechanicals, has been based in the Southeast. And so I have a lot about humidity, a lot of like ventilating dehumidifiers down here, which is not so common elsewhere. There's a great community, you know, online on Facebook, a lot of really fantastic contractors that have come up in this region that I learned from, like Brian Orr down in Florida, and Jenry Garcia, and Tim D'Estacio in North Carolina. So there is definitely still a regional aspect. And I feel, I think my impression coming into the building science world was that the super insulation and everything kind of came out of the colder climates. And so for a while, the building science world was like fairly Northeast focused, was at least my impression coming into it. But I think a lot has changed, and there's like the Humid Climate Conference now, or has been for a few years in Austin. And there's a big, a lot more folks in the Southeast paying attention, and I've learned from them.
And maybe it caught on sooner for us because we didn't want to freeze. Like, you know, what's the impact of all the stuff that we're doing now? And if we're putting in these temporary systems that we're going to have to throw out every 10 years, like, what is this other thing that we're creating? And I feel like, along with just geographically other places kind of saying, okay, well, what makes sense for us in our area? We're all as a whole taking a look at a bigger picture item. You know, I think a lot of the country is trying to go for electrification, which is both exciting and super scary, because we don't have the ability to provide power on that scale for every residential house in the United States. We don't want to start firing up coal-fired power plants to provide that electricity for people who are going down that route. But at the same time, it's allowing us to really look at our systems and what we're using, right? And so I think that is somewhat tied to the mechanical world too, right? Like, people are like, oh, we got to get off of fossil fuels. Well, you know what? What's the best scenario? And that's what's been kind of exciting for me. And I know you said there's a lot to learn, but I feel like every time I turn around, there's some new technology in the HVAC world. Like, oh, what's this new thing that I now need to know that, you know? And that... Yeah. Because we started building tighter houses or more efficient houses, we had to come up with systems that could be smaller, right? And so it's all really exciting. And like, what's the next new thing in the HVAC world? Like, what don't I know about yet?
Yeah, good question. This isn't a brand new thing, but I just recently, a job I'm working on now, the client has asked to use the Serv2. It's a heat pump, a very, very small heat pump. It does have some heating and cooling capacity, but what we're going to use it for is ventilation. And it's an incredibly smart machine. We can set it up for continuous ventilation, but it can also do demand ventilation, which is awesome. So instead of picking a certain rate that is continually exchanging fresh air, it picks up on indoor air quality or CO2. I don't remember which sensors, multiple that we can choose from, but it ventilates based on need, which is cool. And then there's a very smart control system. The distribution can be dampered to basically boost or trigger certain zones. And that's been exciting to learn about. I think I use it some in the Northwest, where loads are so small that it can actually heat and cool as well, which is not going to be the case in Atlanta where this one's going, but it's been fun. I love learning about new devices like that and getting to take a deep dive. I hope it's not too complicated to install. I think sometimes when we try to come up with these perfect solutions for everything, or like that magic box, then it can end up being complex, and that can be problematic in and of itself.
But we want to combine as many things together as we can, because like, oh, I already have ductwork for this. Can I do that? And it's like, no, you know what? These two things are too different to be like, the ductwork is too big in a forced hot air system to adequately handle your ventilation stuff or whatever. And it's like, we keep trying to combine these things together. And yet at the same time, smart ventilation makes so much sense. Maybe not as much while people are working from home and they're in their homes all day long, but there's a large percentage of the population that leaves for hours at a time during the day. And well, unless you're ventilating some other toxic thing that's in your house, which is a completely different problem, fresh air ventilation is for the people who are in the structure. So yeah, be in the space that you're in, or increase the volume when you're actually at home. That's just like all things. Like, we don't want it to be too complicated, but we do want it to be smart and intelligent. And then I think the number one thing that I have in the mechanical world is commissioning, right? Like, we need to know that the thing that we like, it's only your design is only as good as how it got installed, right? Like, checking that it's actually doing what you wanted it to do.
Yeah, definitely.
HVAC is so exciting. And it's, you know, you talk about heat pumps and, you know, going down that road. And then we're talking about refrigerant and changing refrigerants and, you know, being reliant on, you know, the installers to do a really good install versus packaged units with like your refrigerator, which comes and says, like, you don't have to do anything with the refrigerant. It just is what it is. We're really excited about heat pumps. I think heat pumps are a great solution for a lot of things, not the perfect solution for everything. Then I lose sleep at night thinking about the greenhouse gas emissions from leaking refrigerants too. So it's like, there's so many complicated things to think about when you're doing it.
And then same thing with building science in general. I mean, as you get into this world and you start learning how everything you do can have other knock-on effects, it can be overwhelming and scary, and sometimes be like, I don't know if this is worth it, because I'm trying to do something good. And then I, you know, there's some unintended consequence. But as you continue on in it and learn more and get like that kind of like what you were saying, the more holistic understanding, it gets easier, which is not to say that we won't still be making mistakes. But yeah, it can be overwhelming. I mean, I'm getting to design projects all over the country. So I'm getting to learn about all different climates. We have to know, you know, code requirements in different places. We don't do a whole lot of envelope consulting, really, but it's still, we build homes in our software. We need to know what's code minimum in a certain area. And that's been a perk of this job, is getting to do that all over the country, which would be hard otherwise, because I can't physically be everywhere.
Any software or books that you recommend that people who are just kind of starting to realize the mechanical is a bigger picture than just like the system itself that gets put in? Is there anything that, especially as you're kind of like launching into this, that you really felt like this was a great place for me to start kind of understanding concepts? I mean, aside from Allison's book, which we'll hype.
Well, I mean, we're even as a company, we're going through the book and doing chapters and discussing them together. And it's such a great book. I mean, that would be my number one recommendation. The book is A House Needs to Breathe, or Does It, by Allison Bales. Building science intro, a couple of chapters, deep dive into mechanicals. And he's just a great writer and trainer, you know, and teacher. So that would be my number one. Otherwise, I listen to a lot of podcasts, so it's not reading, but the HVAC Our School podcast, Brian Orr's podcast, is really great. It's fairly tech focused, so it is relatively technical, but similarly does a really good job of explaining everything. I mean, your guys's book, A Pretty Good House, also like Allison's, is a good primer. I mean, Building Science Corporation archives online, that's probably where I started before any of those last three that I said. Steve Brooks' articles are also fun, a good way to get hooked, because it's easy reading and he's funny.
Yeah. He's definitely funny. For people who don't have Allison's book, or you're waiting for it to arrive, you know, Energy Vanguard also has 900, 1,000, 1,000,000. I don't even know how many articles Allison has written over the years. And I appreciate that both Joe and Allison have A really funny perspective, you know, they make it fun. Some people might think that it's like, oh, mechanicals, that's going to be boring, but it really isn't. And well, neither one of them only write about mechanicals. So really understanding that building as a system
Right.
concept is why you shouldn't have vented crawl spaces. I think that was one of my favorite ones recently that you guys put out.
Yeah, it's really not just reading anymore. So much of the content we get by learning is podcasts and meetings now, which is great.
After you work all day, and depending on how many hours you work, sometimes reading is just like, I read this chapter three times and like I fell asleep. And so webinars and, you know, taking classes and listening to the podcast while you're on your way to work and listening and getting to listen to it over and over again too, right? Like it's the repeat factor that I think is really awesome.
Yes.
I mean, I personally love books, but not everybody does. That's not everybody's learning style.
Yeah. I was trying to think when you asked that question, what other, like what female authors I've read, but I can't think of any on the spot. I always like to make sure to like, because there are plenty of female trainers and now experts in these fields that I want to bring up, but you do a good job of that, of interviewing female entrepreneurs on your podcast. And you're one of the first female voices. Like in coming into the world, it has felt very male, and yours was one of the first female voices on the panels and stuff that I heard, which I really appreciated.
Thank you. I still think I'm just a small town architect. That's where I like my brain thinks that I live, but I just want to be out there. The construction industry is so vast with the things that you can do, right? You said you started out, you know, doing carpentry or whatever, and now you're doing HVAC. I mean, it's so vast. It needs so many people, and just highlighting that there are other people like you out there is my goal. So I love that you're going now after your mechanical license. Like, I don't know that many female mechanical engineers. I really don't. And so it's super awesome that that's a pursuit that you wanted to go down. Like, there's so much that you can do. And so I just try to be out there and just be like, hey, what can you do? In fact, before this, what I did was a residential design webinar for my alma mater. And there were three architects and one landscape architect on, and, you know, just for the students to say, like, and even though that's a very small, like, we're all kind of architects thing, we all do really different things. And so that was so exciting to see, like, oh my gosh, what are you guys doing? Like, that's so different than what I do. And we're just talking about residential architecture. There's so, like, schools and hospitals and skyscrapers and, you know, opera houses. Like, there's so many different types of architecture outside of that. And then we're only just talking about architects, right? You've got builders and engineers and, you know, subcontractors. I often say, you know, my dad sent my sister and I to college, which I appreciate and everything, but I was like, why didn't you tell me to be an electrician? I could own my own business and be making like so much more money as an electrician.
There's plenty of options of things we can do, and there are women in it, and so it's so great to connect with them. I think when you meet people at conferences, it shows that there are, and there hopefully will be more and more.
And I think that is a great place to kind of end our podcast together, which is that there are lots of women out here. And it's just one of those things where, you know, someone and I know someone, and right, we're just kind of highlighting that they're there making those connections. You know, I had the pleasure of speaking at a Women in Construction event here in Maine in May, and it's actually put on by a lawyer who works in construction law, which is super exciting. And she said, this space didn't really exist, and I wanted to start that. And so I think she's been doing it for about 10 years now. And she said, the first year there were like 10 of us. And this year we had a waiting list because the venue can only hold 200 people. Well, only 200 people can park there. I think next year what they're going to have to do is is get a bus and be like, we're going to park over here to bring them in, because it's like those 10 people made a connection with 10 more people, and every year it just grew and it grew. And it's really exciting to just share those stories of like, what was your experience? What was your background? What was, you know, what have you done in your career? What are you doing now? You know, one of the other speakers was talking about being proactive for each other, right? Like, this is another person who says, hey, this person's cool. Like, you just told me about a mechanical contractor in Maine. I was like, I'm going to meet somebody new. Like, this is awesome. So, I think that was part of the reason why, one, I just really enjoyed meeting you at summer camp. But two, I also want to kind of highlight this idea of women in construction. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day.
I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's been great. I think it's wonderful to get these voices out.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's a woman in construction that you'd like to hear from, please send me an email, emily@matramarch.com. I hope you've been enjoying these shorter episodes. Let me know if you do. Tune in next month to hear from another fabulous woman in the construction industry. And in the meantime, stay nerdy.